Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Well, there's so much going on. It's like today I didn't get the title to you guys, and it's Growing Older with Grace and Purpose. Now, there'll be a reason for that. You'll be understanding that. But it's a time in our lives when we really begin to wonder, at least I do, what's next? Now, I know there's an eternity next. Well, I don't know when that is, but at the moment, what's next? There's always something new happening, and I'm kind of at this place of, Lord, does this ever cease? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think when we're really focused, it's like always being entrusted with something new and different, challenging, some of it very difficult, and yet God's still faithful. And I kind of feel as if we talk about end times and we talk about a revival in our nation, maybe even in our world, and I believe we're in the prelude to that. I believe we're right standing in the opening for these miracle things of God. It isn't like those children. He hasn't turned his back from them. He's always been aware of them as well as us. And so it's like, I thought I dropped something. I did. It's only the message. In Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, it says, My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. I can say that is so true. Now, you got to figure out what is prosperity. It isn't always this lucre, the money in your hand. That isn't always prosperity. It's be able to walk with peace of mind. That's being prosperous. To not have a conscience that's always looking over its shoulder to find out if the past will catch up to you or not. That kind of stuff. Psalm 71:7, Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. I don't know about you, but one of the things that problems with me is aging is my mind catching up to my body. I still think I can do what I always did. And don't you want to mess with me because I can do it, you know, and whatever's in your head. Or anyway, but there's like this past week, I tweaked my back. I don't want to have a bad back. I don't want to have a back problem. My God's big. He'll take care of me. He should heal me on the spot. However, sometimes he lets us learn by the fact that we did something really not too smart. So I'm kind of like walking funny. I'm not in any great pain, but, you know, then I would deny it anyway. That's kind of the way I am. Psalm 92:14. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. I don't want to cease being a fruit bearer. Now, what is that? Well, we have opportunities every day. I find opportunities to mingle with people. Now I'm getting to mingle with some pastors. It's kind of strange. I'm not the fix-it-up guy, but I am a guy who's traveled through some stuff. And so I feel like I have a lot to offer in the way of hopefulness, that if when I start thinking about our testimony and the places the Lord has taken us from, if he can do that for me, he can do that for anybody, which is really his desire. Growing older is certainly not an easy journey. Many of us experience all kinds of things in this journey of growing up. And I'm really having a great deal of trouble. I probably told you this before. I don't know how to act my age. I'm really having trouble with that. And I guess maybe someday I'll get there, but maybe I won't. I don't know. But it's like growing older is a lot of things that happen to us, not so much all natural. There's just all kinds of things we contend with. And age is only a number, I've been told. And I kind of have that in my head. It's only a number. And what does that mean? We're working hard to get away. We're saving money for retirement. We've done all the things right, and hopefully we've set ourselves up so that the golden years will really be the golden years. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that said the golden years are nothing like I thought they were. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for this. And so things happen that kind of make it really, really difficult. But some people have a different frame of mind. And I had a story. I just brought the thing along. Instead of writing some of it down or trying to remember it, I'm not going to read this, but it's in my daily devotional. It was back on June the 1st. And it talked about a lady called Anita Bogan. She died in 2007 at the ripe age of 106 years old. You know, there's more and more people hitting that 100-year plateau, and she's one of those. But her obituary read, "Blessed with good health and a sound mind, she began to spend her old age doing what she wanted to do with a feisty." Can imagine this lady being a feisty lady. What's age got to do with attitude? In the decade following her 80th year, she created a nonprofit foundation to build senior housing, opened a floral shop, played golf daily, took cruises to celebrate her birthdays, and inspired people. On her 100th birthday, the Board of Supervisors where she lived declared an Anita Bogan Day. And so her attitude toward life really changed other people's lives. You know, it's hard to, you get some around some people, and they're really enthusiastic, and you can't help but catch some of that stuff. It's kind of good medicine. And so she was one of those. But there's one in Scripture that did likewise. And I've asked my wife to read that portion of Scripture. And it's about a guy you'll probably remember.
In Joshua chapter 14, starting with verse 7. "I was 40 years old when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel, they moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said."
It's interesting. Here's Caleb, 85 years old. Now, part of the reason that I was drawn to this scripture, guess what's going to happen to me in about 2 weeks? I'll be 85 years old, and I want to have the same vigor and the same aspirations and desires as did Caleb. It's really kind of interesting. He was a... I got these notes all messed up. Anyway, he was faithful and capable warrior. His actions were from a bold and obedient faith. He had confidence and trust in the Lord, totally trusting in the Lord. And even though... he had these, that's the 12 spies that were sent in to look at the promised land. And he brought back a good report, even though 10 of those guys sent out came back with an awfully negative report. But Joshua and Caleb came back with a very negative report, and they never changed it to accommodate the fears of their fellow men. Because of his faithfulness and his good report, he was rewarded. He was given a reward, but it was like he's 40 years old. 45 years later, 45 years later, he gets his promise. Some things come, are depending on our ongoing faithfulness, just not an incident of faithfulness, but ongoing. That's you, Kate. It's an ongoing faithfulness. It's not momentary. It's not isolated to one situation. It's always everything. That's remarkable. Neat thing he said in verse 11, he's still strong. Give me the hill country. I can take the hill country. I can still do that. And I thought, I want to do that too. But there's some things that I thought, like when we moved last December, got rid of all my outdoor tools, just about everything. All of a sudden, I'm needing those tools, and I'm using them again, and I never thought I would do that again. But I thought to myself, well, why wouldn't you do it? You can. It doesn't matter that you tweak your back or something, or your muscles ache or something. You don't quit doing stuff because there's some discomfort. You just keep on going. And I am still strong, but I have to gauge myself. It's a little different. It isn't like I used to be when I was a young man. But I thought of 40 years to wait to receive your promise. And I wondered, I still wonder, God, what is it that you've entrusted to me that I have not yet done? What is in my destiny that I have not yet reached or achieved? What is it that's allowing me the privilege of staying alive? I don't know, but I just think about stuff. And I realize that I am not a perfected vessel. Can you imagine that at my age? My goodness, you should be perfected by now. Should be. But all you have to do is ask my wife, and she'll tell you. There's some things that still need to be perfected and changed, actually. Not just mention them, but there's changes that need to take place in me, both in the how I present myself, what I do, my thinking. Everything is under the microscope. It's like an MRI spiritually. And I hate to say that I don't come up like as good as I thought I should, you know, sometimes. But I am being put in touch with how deep, how strong, how long the Lord's love is for us. I don't have time to give you just even the last year and a half what the Lord has spoken to me. You guys, I'm not weird, am I? You hear the Lord sometimes, don't you? Do you like what you hear all the time? Geez, I do. I do. Because there's something that needs to catch my attention. It isn't always the good stuff that you do. You get pats on the back, you good old boy, that kind of stuff. There's times the Lord says, have you paid attention to this? Have you thought about that? And I never, one thing about God's love, he never condemns and judges. He never does that to you. He comes that little voice that says, would you consider this? Or do you need to know about this? Or are you aware of this? And it's always constantly trying to nurture you to become more and more like whom? Him, right? Him. Now, I'm not going to get it elongated, but I don't know how many years ago, 10, 12 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, because I'll tell you what, time is flying by so fast. Things happen, and I think it was just a little while ago. It was a long time ago. One day, the former pastor at Spring City Fellowship's wife came in, and she was doing some cleaning in her house. And she found this goblet, or chalice. And she thought, maybe I would like to have it. And I looked at it, and I thought, that's disgusting. Who would ever want something like that? And I was going to polish it up, but I thought, no, don't do that because the illustration is better this way. So I'm in my office at the church, and I take this delightful gift, and I start walking toward the back of the church, out the kitchen door. The dumpster is out there. I'm going through the sanctuary, and the Lord said, maybe you need to look at that again. I did. I looked at it and said, so, it's ugly. It's useless. What in the name of heaven would I ever want to do with anything like this? The Lord said, do you not recognize it? I said, well, of course I recognize what it was, but I don't like what it is. And the Lord said, doesn't that remind you of yourself? Are you not tarnished? Have you not been broken? Have you not felt like a waste and a useless item that should be just tossed away, has nothing it can do anymore? He said, however, if you look at it, you will be able to see that it still can do what it was intended to do. Now, we do a lot of baptism, communion by the little cups and stuff, but in the early days of my life, this was it. You came up and you drank out of this, and no one ever that I know of ever got sick. And they would always wipe the edge of the cup, and we drank the common cup. I really got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, Lord, as much as I hate to think about it, yes, I'm very much like this cup. I've been broken. I've become tarnished. But what you intended for me to do is not hindered by those things. As long as I recognize what I was called to do, I can still do. Isn't that a lot of us? This will still work. In fact, we're going to be sharing in communion a couple weeks at Spring City, and I think I'm going to have the common cup on our table. So people can remember. And the interesting thing, we get so worried about, we have to be careful, I understand that, but we get so disease-minded that we forget that maybe God's able to keep us. If something happens to that, it doesn't, like some people believe it's real blood and all, I don't care what they believe, I just know that it's remembering that He is just and faithful to keep what He's created. So what am I going to be when I fully, how many years do I have? I don't know. What am I going to be doing? I do know. And that's a witness that continually has the comfort of knowing my God is faithful. He's capable. I have a big, big God. Really big God. I remember reading the book, Heaven is for Real. And this little boy went to heaven and came back and told his parents. And there was just a lot. But one of the things he said was, God is so big. Big! I mean, when I say big, I'm not talking like a 6 foot guy, 10 foot guy. He's just big. One of those things where you see that when he says move a mountain, he can. He just pick it up and boom, that's how big he is. My God is really big. And, back in 2001, I think it is, we went on a sabbatical. I tell you, you should do that every 7 years. Well, we already had 20 some years in and took a sabbatical. But the things that happened for me to be able to go on a sabbatical were amazing. And then I thought, well, they want us to go for 4 months. I said, I'll go three. But I should have known the fourth month would have been the best month. We were traveling during our sabbatical, and on the way home, we started out in Williamsburg, Virginia. We ended up Williamsburg, Virginia. And we ended up home when our first stop and our last stop. And there was a music store, Bible bookstore and music store there. And I got into playing these songs I like to sing. And I had this little portable CD thing, which there's no one hears the music except me. And I'm back in our unit, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm singing this song. I sang it 3 times. Now, I don't know why we're so thick that we can't get the message right away. But it was as if the Lord was saying to me one more time, but I'm singing to you, I'm using your voice, but I'm singing to you these words. Well, the words finally hit me. See if you can figure out which the words are. It finally hit me so hard that I began to wail. I mean, from in the inner man just came erupting up. And I was being attacked by the enemy. We're at the end of our journey for the 3 months, and I got bombarded. You're not worth it. You've never been, you're not this, you're not that. You're everything disgraceful, you know. And I'm thinking, oh my, I can't go back to the church. I'm a mess. I'm not good enough. I'm not, that was a bombardment like I've never been bombarded before. Well, this is the song. And I lost the words already. What did I do? No, I...
Empty and broken, I came back to Him. A vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin. But He did not despair, He started over again. And I bless the day He didn't throw the clay away. Over and over He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. He is the potter, and I am the clay, molded in His image. He wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall, and my vessel breaks, He just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and over He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay, vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. A vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
After hearing that, Sandra came out of the room and wanted to know that she'd call an ambulance, because I was just, I really lost it. Whoops. I said, no, you don't understand. I was being emptied of that vile attack to be able to just say, a vessel of honor I am today. That was an amazing phrase for me. It caught me off guard. You do something 3 times, and that many times it's in the song, you still don't get it. But then finally it's that breakthrough time, that breakthrough moment when the glory of the Lord just came. And then He said to me, I want you to sing love songs to the children. I want you to sing love songs. So I began to sing, different than before. I sang quite a lot, but I usually sang because I didn't know how to stop my message. So I started singing a song to end the message. But today it's like, it's really important to know to whom we belong. It's important to know that God is for us, not against us. It's important to know that there is no age factor as being able to be capable and being able to be used and accomplish things for the kingdom of God. And we have been designed and sent to do that. We've gotten a lot of interruptions, a lot of things have interfered in our lives, a lot of things tried to tear us down, make sure we never got to that moment when we could say, Lord, I don't know how you've done it, I don't know why you've done it, but I cannot say you've never been faithful. And I cannot say that you have not taken us through difficult times. Even when I didn't see you, I know your word to be true. You were there. And you've always been there, and you still are. So if there's anything that can be gathered out of moments like these, it's that God is not interested in your age. He's interested in your heart and designed you for things yet to do. And only you and he will know what they are. But when you do them, there's a sense of Caleb was comfortable in trusting God because he always had. And then to come all this time to wait for his promise. How many people wait 45 years for a promise? You'd forget it. You'd think it's never going to happen. But it happens. And he says, I can still take the hill country. I can still do what I was able to do when I was truthful to you in that adventure. So how big is your God? How big? And what is it that he wants to do in and through you? Because like it or not, you're an instrument that he's designed for his purposes. And his intent is to glorify himself through you. How about that? To glorify himself through you. Anyway, I don't have any more that I want to say other than there's a sense or a feeling of the moving, God's moving, and all kinds of things are going on. I want to bring to your attention, I don't know, I'm not selling books especially, but Lester Zimmerman, he was here a couple weeks ago, wrote this book on the understanding homosexuality and transgenderism. It's really good. So I have some with me if you're interested. I'm not really, you know, I'm not a book salesman, but I have these things, and I'm wondering what's your report going to be when you're back next year? Actually, there's going to be a lot of things happen for you before you leave. I believe that. I believe there's something's stirring, something's brewing, and something's really good coming your way. And at your age, I don't know what that age is, but I know it's not 85. But to be as, well, I would just use the word faithful. That's a feature that God always pays attention to. Always. So who knows what you'll be telling us next. Actually, the truth of the matter is, anybody here, what are you going to be telling us next as well? What are the stories that are going to come into your life that you had no idea that God was even preparing you to do it? That's everybody. Everybody. So when we come back again, maybe there'll be some really good, fresh testimonies, I guess. And thank you for allowing us to come today. Go ahead.
Father God, we just ask that you bless your body, your children. And Lord, I'm thankful that for each one of us here, our purpose and our destiny does not depend on our strength and our abilities. It doesn't depend on our age. It doesn't depend on what we can or can't do. Because, Lord, you have been so gracious to plant your spirit in each one of us. And because of that, we can do hard things. We can talk to people. We can reach people, and the kingdom will be built. So I'm asking for your favor to rest on each one that's here and those that couldn't be here today, Lord. that you bless them with a special anointing, a boldness that they didn't even know was in them, to reach out and build the kingdom of God. And as we're faithful to build your kingdom, you will build the church. So, Father, protect them, strengthen them, let them hear your voice when you call them for your glory, Lord.
I thank you, too, for many of us. We've experienced what it means to be broken, what it means to feel despaired and useless, and just like we would castaways, that we'd never have any significance. But when you stepped into our lives, you changed that, every bit of it. And so the former longer holds precedence over the current, knowing full well there's many things that you're going to achieve in the lives of others because they've come to the desperate place of saying, Lord, if I've been sent to do, help me to accomplish what you sent me to do. And believe it will happen. Believe it will happen. There's many things, Lord, we pray, but we really don't believe it will happen. But we say today, Lord, there are things that you intended that will no longer be interrupted by the interference of the other one who wants to try to destroy and distort everything. I just pray your blessings over this fellowship, that there would be evidences of your drawing and doing things that it goes against what we couldn't even believe big enough for those things. And we have a number of things in our network, churches that are going on and reaching for the stars, reaching further than they can reach, knowing full well that it cannot be accomplished without your help. But they believe that you've called them for such moments and such desires that they are standing in faith that these things will be accomplished because it's your agenda that they're really doing. So help us to be able to be... We can shoot for the stars and actually can make it happen. So bless them with every desire, every need. And Lord, importantly, watch over our relationships. Oh, Lord, protect our relationships. Because the enemy, that's one place he tries to get in and distort things between fellowship, between people that are drawn together, and all of a sudden there's these things that happen. We don't even recognize or take time to think of what the enemy is trying to do in the way of distorting and destroying. We are purposing, Lord, to have a good report and keep it because we trust you. So bless them with peace, bless them with healing, bless them with the power of your Holy Spirit, doing all kinds of things to demonstrate the value of each and everybody's life. And the fruit of their lives would be most evident well.
Yeah.
And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning. 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley.